I know that some of you have heard this story before, but I would love to share it with you this morning because I think it's going to help me explain an important point about the third Sunday of Advent. It's a story about a convention with several of Satan's apprentices. The young apprentices were learning how to detour people from their path toward God and win them over to Satan. Satan asked the group a question. He asked, "What do you think is the best way to win people over to our side?" When an apprentice raised his hand, indicating that he had an answer, Satan's horns and tail began to twitch with excitement. "Tell them there's no God," said the apprentice. "No," said Satan, "we've tried that before, and we had some success when people are under a lot of stress. But most people see the order and the beauty of the world, and they know that it couldn't just happen. They might use words like higher power or soul of the universe, but they really mean God." When in a second apprentice raised his hand, Satan's horns and tail began to twitch again. "Tell them there's no hell," said the second apprentice. "No," said Satan, "we've tried that as well, and we had a certain amount of success with people who only think of hell as a place of unquenchable fire. But most people understand that it would not be fair to allow thieves and liars to receive the same reward as compassionate, caring people. They know that there must be some place that separates the good guys from the bad guys, and they call that hell." Then a third apprentice raised his hand, and once again Satan's horns and tail began to twitch. "Tell them there's no hurry," said the third apprentice. And with that suggestion, Satan began to smile, for he knew that it would work. He knew that people wanted to avoid hell and be close to God, but he also knew that they were in no hurry to do it. In today's gospel, Jesus speaks very highly of John the Baptist. He said there is no one greater than him. John was preaching repentance as preparation for the coming of the Messiah. He told the people of Judah to repent, for the kingdom of God was at hand. John knew that there wasn't much time left. He knew that he was a prophet called to make straight the way of the Lord. And through his preaching and through his baptism, John called the people to turn from their evil and apathetic ways and to become passionate about seeking God's will. He wanted their lives to bear fruit that was worthy of the God that they claimed to know and serve. Preparing for the Savior isn't about privilege. It doesn't involve saying the right prayers, having the right ancestors, or reciting some magic formula. Instead, it involves a change of heart. As we heard in last Sunday's gospel, John told them, and he tells us, to produce good fruit as evidence of our repentance. Not just look busy because the boss is coming soon. When we truly experience God's salvation, then everything looks different. We see the world in a new and different way. We see a world that is filled not with obstacles trying to make us fail, but with opportunities challenging us to succeed. The crowds were intrigued with John's message because he challenged the people to let go and to free their hearts and their lives from the things that were weighing them down. John was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The coming of the Lord would also be a joy for him. He said, "One is coming who is more powerful than I, and I am not even worthy to carry his sandals. I'm going to baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, and it will make us children of God and heirs to the kingdom of heaven." The coming of the Savior will bring about salvation and freedom from the bondage of sin. The new baptism will be different. Because in the new baptism, our old natures will be replaced and we will become new creatures in Christ. You know, Advent promises new life in Christ because it means we now know what God is like. That's why Jesus came to live among us, to show us what God is like. He came to teach us so that we would appreciate the gift. He came to die for us that we might be forgiven. He rose from the dead to help us realize that we too will be raised one day. He promised that he will return so that eternal hope would be ours. He opened the gates and kept heaven poured out its treasure. When God chose to reveal himself to man, he did it in a special way. He did it through the incarnation, through the human side of Jesus. The tongue that called forth the dead was a human one. The hand that touched and healed the leper had dirt under its nails. The feet that walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem were calloused and dirty. And his tears came from a heart that is broken as badly as yours and mine has ever been. He came not in a flash of light or as an unapproachable conqueror. No. But he came as one whose first cries were heard by a peasant girl and a sleepy carpenter. Except for his earthly parents, he was born as he died, alone. There was no hospital, no doctors or nurses, no midwife. He didn't come with pomp and circumstance. His primary mission was to sacrifice, suffer, and die for you and me, not to be a king. Were it not for those shepherds, there would have been no reception. Were it not for a group of stargazers, there would have been no gifts. Imagine that angels watched as Mary changed God's diaper. The universe watched with wonder as the Almighty learned to walk. The gift of Christmas is that we have a God who is both human and divine. We have a God who understands the human condition so that as God he can walk with us and offer us the greatest gift. Because Jesus came, we know what God is like. Because he came, we can choose eternal life. We have a God who cared enough to suffer and die for us, to laugh and cry with us, to talk and laugh with us, and to show us the way home. He showed us what God was like, and his name was love. He was a friend to sinners and failures. He healed the sick and raised the dead. He taught us not to use the values of this world to determine our worth, because our value in the eyes of God is far more important. Most of us are very busy this time of year. We got lots to do. We got parties to go to, shopping trips, and decorations to do. Few of us take the time to prepare, and so we miss it. Christmas comes and goes, and we never really get it. We never really received the gift that our Lord wants so badly to give us this year. Those who missed his majesty's arrival on that first Christmas Eve, like those of us who will miss it this Christmas Eve, didn't miss it because of acts of evil or malice. No, they missed it because they simply weren't looking. They weren't prepared. They were distracted by so many other things. Their lives were filled with so many less important things that they simply didn't get it. It's the third Sunday of Advent. Christmas Eve is less than 2 weeks from now. Let's take the time that's left to reflect on the incarnation, the gift that's just right for us, the gift that in a few minutes we will hold in the palms of our hands. Brothers and sisters, let's not be fooled by Satan's lies this year. Let's take the time to do it different. Let's really get ready for Christmas. Let's take the time we need to reflect on God's greatest gift and how He can change our lives today, how He can heal our hurts and mend what's broken right now. Friends, let's not miss it this time. Amen.